Let's talk a bunch of different topics.
How'd her career get there?
This is a podcast with Lauren Asghari.
This is Lauren Asghari podcast, How'd Her Career Get There? And my guest today is Angel Johnson, who is an IT cybersecurity specialist. And we are thrilled to have her. Welcome.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
So let's, for the sake of time, because I know that that you have a hard stop coming up, let's jump right into it. Give some context. Let's start present day really quickly, and then we'll jump backward. Just give a quick overview, maybe one or two sentences about what you do, what your job is, and then we will go back and talk about your earlier years.
For sure. I am Angel Johnson. I have been in technology for about 20 years now. I also have been in real estate for 20 years. So I'm also a real estate investor and just an overall investor as a whole. I always like to include that because I think as women, we are, you know, we wear many hats. Speaking of hats, I also have a almost 5-year-old daughter. So that is a very interesting time for us with COVID. And, you know, having to work and homeschool and, you know, do a bunch of other things. But as far as my professional career, I have been in technology. I started out where I was managing projects, websites, email campaigns for ad agencies. I have worked for some of the larger ad agencies and just delivering design and development type products. And so then over the last few years, the last 6 years, I was at Marriott and I was working in the hospitality IT industry. I was doing a little bit of mobile app. And then just most recently, I've transferred over to the government side on the government contract. And I've been in the cybersecurity realm. And so that is very recent. That is only, I would say, two and a half months on the cybersecurity side. I decided, well, you know, we'll go in more detail of how I landed on that side of things with some of the additional questions.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk about that in your overall career progression. Let's start. Let's set the table a little bit with some foundation. So give an overview, if you will, about how you grew up, what you were like as a kid. Where did you grow up? Did you have any siblings? Let's start there.
Yeah, so that's always an exciting one for me because so my mother actually had me at 17. She was still in high school. She was not married. And so she lived with her mother, like most 17-year-olds do, my grandmother, and her siblings. And so, I grew up in Philadelphia with my grandmother, my mother, and all her siblings. And it was one of the best upbringings, that I think, you know, people would suspect that that's not ideal, but it was very good for a child, to be around, you know, and growing up in the same household as her grandmother and mother and aunts and uncles. So I had a lot of I have a large family in Philadelphia, and it was just fun. It was exciting. And most importantly, I would say I was surrounded by love. And I think that that has influenced my personality as well as just who I am today. I do believe in that just as my daughter as well, because I think that for women, we require a certain amount of foundational love in the very beginning to boost our self-confidence and make sure that we have the confidence to walk into any room and to ask for whatever we're looking for.
I love that you say that. I have two daughters, a 7-year-old and a 4-year-old, and the thing that I try as a parent, you never know how you're doing right until later, but is self-confidence. Like that is the thing that I focus on with them, is feeling good about and proud of who they are, not even of who their parents want them to be or anybody else wants them to be, but even at that age. So I love that you said that. Mm-hmm. When you were a kid, so let's talk a little bit more about that. What were you like? What were some of your personality traits? And were with all those people, was that pretty tight quarters? Were you in the suburbs? Were you in the city? What was your actual day-to-day living like?
Yeah, inner city is a few words that come to mind just when you ask those back-to-back questions. Definitely inner city. meager means. You know, they call it poverty today, but you know, we didn't know what that was back then. Like I said, we were just surrounded by family and friends. And I was rambunctious. I was bossy. I was crazy. I remember my uncle, he was like, girl, you are crazy. That was always his line for me. You know, I have pictures where I'm like licking out my tongue, you know, very sassy. And I was allowed the space to be that, you know, and I think that's why, you know, we can laugh about it now, but you know, back then I grew up, I was born in 78, so I was a child of the 80s. Mm-hmm. And, you know, those type of characteristics of bossy and sassy, you know, those are not ones that people would have, you know, hoped for their, you know, young girls, I guess, at the time. But, you know, I think there's room for that, as we see, you know, there's room for women who don't think the way that other people think, you know, and that's some of the things that I also try to instill in my daughter. I think, you know, when you are allowed as a child to imagine and to dream, I think that that gives you space to be able to produce as a child, as an adult, because you know that those dreams can manifest into reality. I also am very spiritual. So as a child, we didn't necessarily go to church every Sunday, but there was an enlightenment just about God and a higher power and making sure that we pray and making sure that we're kind. And so some of those virtues have always just kind of stuck with me. And especially as I got into owning my own business and leading teams, that's where, you know, the rubber meets the road and you really start to pull some of those skills out of your back pocket to be able to execute and make sure that you're treating your team appropriately and handling issues that arise. And, you know, so it all comes kind of full circle when you ask about what type of upbringing you had, because I think, and who you were as a child, because ultimately, who I was as a child is very similar to who I am today.
What was the, or do you recall, or do you know a trait, like the trait that you would say you learned or personality or characteristic from your mom that she very much ingrained in you?
That's a good one. That was a good question there. Treat people kind. Treat people kind. That was her motto. Be honest. Those were probably the top two. But she, one thing that I will always say is that she always just listened to my ideas, even if she didn't understand them, even if she didn't agree with them. I have always had an entrepreneurial spirit, and she is not that. And mm-hmm. So she would always just, you know, you want to do what? Okay, you know, but it was always okay at the end. And that is something that I know for certain that has influenced me dramatically, because she had instilled that in me very early on. And so even when people don't agree with my ideas, and that's fine, no, everybody doesn't have to agree. And when I'm 100% certain it's a good one, I'm able to stand on that and know for sure. And that has, you know, when you talk about investments and knowing, and, you know, especially as it relates to women, we have such strong intuition and, you know, that feeling in our gut where you can't really, sometimes I don't have the right words to describe why I believe a certain investment. You know, I recently had started getting into cryptocurrency. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know why, or I didn't know how. Even real estate was another one. 20 years ago, I knew that it was the right thing to do to start buying property in Philadelphia. I didn't know why. I remember people would come up to me and say, oh, that's a pyramid scheme. And that's because people just didn't understand back, you know, it wasn't as popular. The infomercials weren't as common. And I was right out of college. And so people were like, they just didn't understand. But it was just something that I knew. And it was hard to define. I didn't have all the eloquent words to describe why, but you know, those are the types of intuition and the gut feelings that I think as women we have to stand true to. Even if you don't have all the right words at the right time, but just keep moving and keep pushing forward, because there's a reason why those are in our spirit.
I love that. I love that. I'm gonna come back to a couple things that you said there in a little bit. Take us through what did you study in college? Why did you study it? And before I get to that one, let me ask you this last one about your childhood. What did you want to be as a kid? Like when you grew up?
I didn't really know. Like I said, I was such a free-spirited kid. I didn't have a clue, honestly. I danced for quite a bit of my childhood. I did tap, ballet, jazz. As an adult, I did African dance. So, I mean, I thought that it was going to be something around maybe dancing. You know, I just didn't really have a clue. I did used to also play video games quite a bit. And it would just be me by myself, Tetris in the basement.
Yes.
There was just something kind of, you know, unique about that, about building, about, and so I just loved it. Very early on, my father bought us a computer, and it was something that was old. I have no idea where he even got that thing. I mean, I'm sure it was definitely nothing that, you know, he paid a pretty penny for. But I remember just, you know, plugging away, searching, you know, didn't know what I was doing, probably in paint, you know, creating something. I definitely can't draw, but, you know, I was just, you know, tinkering mm-hmm. is probably a better word. And so I didn't know. I didn't know what I wanted to do back then. I just knew that I was having a good time.
There you go. Where did you go to school, to college, and what did you study?
Yep. So it's a great question. I started out at Morgan State. And so.
Yeah, Maryland.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So I, just to rewind a bit, I grew up in Philadelphia, but then my father had gotten a job in Pittsburgh. And so when people don't know about Pennsylvania, they assume, Philly to Pittsburgh, not that big of a deal. It was such a huge contrast, to say the least. And so I went to high school in Pittsburgh. And that was really tough for me because I grew up in inner city, surrounded by all African-Americans, and then went to high school. And it was all, you know, all different, mainly white. You know, we moved to the Pittsburgh area, completely different, different experience. But what I will say is that we stumbled upon a blue ribbon school district, which was not what I had in Philadelphia. And, you know, and so that, you know, just really great teachers, teachers that cared, teachers that really, you know, pointed out, oh, you seem to be really good in English. Oh, you're really good. Your writing is impeccable. Your math is, you know, and I definitely wasn't getting that type of hands-on expertise. And so that really helped me quite a bit. So in high school, I really started to figure out what exactly I was into. And like I said, writing and math were my really strong points. I had a really great algebra teacher. And so she was like, just keep going all the way. I actually went, I guess, to the top of math in college, but I'll get back to that. So right after high school, I was looking to just kind of be around minorities again. I felt very like I wanted to go to a HBCU. And so I wind up going to Morgan State. I went to Morgan State on a tour. They had, I had won some sort of scholarship, maybe $500. To go on a Black college tour. And so, you know, we got on the bus, loaded the bus. It definitely wasn't anything like a plane, you know, but we loaded the bus and we just drove to Norfolk and drove to all these places. And it was fun. It was fun. But also it gave me a chance to see what college life was like. And I don't know if you've ever been on the campus of an HBCU, but it was a good thing. I was salivating. This is what my life could be like. And so I want to hype it up so you get the sense of
what I felt at that time. Mm-hmm. And so, you know,
I love it. I love your storytelling.
I went the first 2 years, I went to Morgan State, everything I had imagined and hoped for, the parties, the guys, you know, it was all of that. And then some. And so then my natural personality kicked in and I started looking at the price tag. And every, you know, after the first year, I thought to myself, that looks a little high. Mm-hmm. Wow. Wait, let me. And then something, once again, that intuition, something said, look into Temple University and just compare. Temple would be considered in-state for you. My parents at that time, they had left Pittsburgh area and moved back to Philly. And I started looking and I just said, that would be in-state tuition for you. And that's like a fourth of what you're paying in Maryland. And then my second year in college at Morgan, I decided to switch I was like a maybe business administration my first year. So the second year, I decided that I would major in computer information systems. I had taken a computer class and liked it. I was like, oh, okay, this is something. Never had the inkling that it could have been a lucrative career. I just thought, this seems pretty cool. And so wind up changing it to computer information system. So when I was doing my analysis, I said, wait, they have a really amazing computer information systems program at Temple University. And it's a fourth, and I'm not exaggerating, it was like a fourth of what I was paying at Morgan. And I thought to myself, this is ridiculous. The great program. You've had enough fun. You've had enough parties. You know, it's time to be realistic. And so I applied for all the transfer paperwork. They made it very easy, very simple. Temple actually was really good. They accepted all of my credits from Morgan. And, you know, it just worked out well. In the meantime, I had also, there's a program called Inroads. I don't know if you've heard of them, but it's a minority program that allows young college students to get an internship. And so you have to compete and, you know, write your essays and do all of that, interview, go through all their training. But that was definitely something that attributed to my later success. Because I had all that formal training on corporate America, what to wear, you know, put on a jacket, put on a blazer, you know, just simple things that you think that, oh, you know, who wouldn't know to do that? Well, most, you know, high school, college students, especially at that time, mm-hmm. we didn't have the, you know, we couldn't Google it, you know, what to wear. So, you know, that also had attributed to a lot of my success inroads. And so, like I said, transferred to Temple, computer information systems, bit off more than I could chew. I was like, oh, Lord Jesus, how am I going to get through this C++ class? You know, some of the classes were so fun, but that was not one of them. I actually had to retake that class. And I tell people about that because people should know. Sometimes you cannot get it on the first try. Mm-hmm. Listen, try again. And I was prepared to try again. But I will also say, and I tell this story and hope that one day that he's listening. But the chair of the computer information systems department wound up pulling me aside and suggested I change my major because I could not get the C++ thing. And I thought to myself, who says that? Who tells that to a young woman? And he was very adamant and very serious, you know, on why he thought that I was not a good fit. And I just remember feeling so broken, but once again, that confidence as a child. And so I, you know, I'm certain I cried and, you know, was just like, so defeated. But at that point, I said, you know what, I'm going to take it again. I'm going to try again. And the second time around that I took the C++ class, I had a Muslim woman for an instructor. And she was very kind and very caring, very patient. And I wound up passing the class. This is not a you know, beautiful story. I did not get an A, but I did get a passing.
You know what? You passed. You passed.
I got a passing grade. And I think because it was in my major, I think I had to get like a C or something to be passing. But listen, it was because of the woman, was just her patience and kindness that allowed me to understand a little bit more than I had understood the first time around. Mm-hmm. And so that is my story on how, and I graduated with a BBA in computer information systems through the school, it was through the School of Business.
And then how do you go from that to, do you go right into computer science of some sort, or computers of some sort, IT, or do you go to real estate? Like, where you graduate and then boom, what happens?
Yeah, you have really good questions, Lauren. Yeah, so that is also an interesting one. So I told you about En-ROADS and how I was interning at the mm-hmm. time. And so I had a lot of internship experience. So when I graduated from Temple, I actually got one of the highest starting salaries that they had ever seen. And that was only because I had so much internship experience that I couldn't warrant that type of money. And so it was great. I mean, I remember they sent me gifts. I interviewed right in college, on campus, Eminem Mars. They came up to the school. And just out of college, they moved me to North Jersey. It was just great. It was fun. I was, you know, playing around in New York and just having, you know what that's like. So, uh-huh. You know, right out of college. And so the problem is that particular job, I love the company, but that particular job was not a great fit for me. And so I was doing 24-hour tech support. Mm-hmm. And that's a little heavy-handed for someone right out of college.
It's interfering with your social calendar.
Please, I would have to wake up. So that's what I said. There's some good stories, Lauren. I would have to wake up in the middle of the night, and I'm a sleeper. I'd like to, once I'm out, I'm out. And so that's why that was key. That was number one reason why it was not a good fit for me. So I would have to wake up in the middle of the night when the pager went off. They gave me a pager.
Oh, and yeah.
Phone, laptop. Yeah. And so when the pager went off, I would have to wake up, boot up my computer and try to fix the problem. That was a little much. But yeah, and then even during the day, it was hard to fix the problems, let alone.
After you've been out all night.
And then the other challenge is that it was a large role. So it was the system was like the item reference database system, the national item reference database system. So it had like all the products of the company. And when, you know, a batch job would fail, I would have to figure out why it failed, get it back online so that all the products could continue to run. It was just not a good one.
Oh, geez, that is a bear for a first one, for a first job, for sure. How do you get, so talk to me about the real estate stuff. Cause that's like, how do you get into real estate? You're doing that simultaneously, like as you're doing your IT stuff?
Yeah. So great. Another great one. So I knew that was not a good job for me. And so I remember I talked to my girlfriend. My girlfriend called me in Jersey and she said, I think I found a way for us to leave our jobs. And I was like, you did what? Okay. So she said, I know a guy, and I always like to tell this story. I know a guy and he's rich, is her exact words. I said, he's rich. What does he do? She said, he's a real estate investor. And he gave me all the books that we need to read. And this is going to change our lives. And so, listen, I looked at that pager, that laptop, that phone. And I was like, which books do I need to buy? And I used to love reading. And so I said, which books do I need to buy? I will buy them now. And so she gave me a long list of all the real estate investing books. And I just would read one at a time. And then, was I still there? I think I just left. I said, you know what? I'm going to go back. I, you know, turn in after my year was up for my apartment in Jersey. I said, I'm going to go back to my parents' house and study and start being a real estate investor. And once again, when you asked me about the ideas and intuition, I just felt like this was going to work out. What else am I going to do? Mm-hmm. You know, so I go back I start reading and I take my money. I've always was good at saving. So I saved up maybe $10,000 or something, which at that time was a lot of money 20 yeah. years ago. Mm-hmm. And so I took my money down to the Philadelphia Sheriff Sales. And I said, if I see something, I had, you know, taken a look at the properties that were coming up, but hadn't gone inside any of them. And so I look at my list. And so one of the ones that I was interested in, they said, okay, 416 Dudley. And I stand up. No clue what I'm doing. And they say, bidding starts at 6,000. So I say 6,500. And somebody else stands up and he's going back and forth with me. And I'm like, well, I know I only have a certain amount. So I know that it can't go too high. And he says something. And then I say 7,500. And he sits down. And I'm like, oh, shoot.
Did I buy something?
I'll say shoot, but that's not what I really said. And so I look around and nobody is bidding against me anymore. It's just me. And so they say sold. And I'm like, oh my God, what did I do? So they, you know, you got to go up and sign and give them a deposit. And so I was a real estate investor. I bought my first place. I go to take a look at it because I had never even been in the inside. So I had to go get somebody to go with me to like break in the house. I get in and the whole back structurally is like leaning almost off. Fast forward, I wind up getting a job at my church because it was very flexible. They were looking for someone, a database administrator, IT experience. And lo and behold, that all worked out. I fixed up the property, wind up renting it out. It actually caught on fire many years later. They sent me an insurance check for about $50,000, $60,000. Here I am today. The rest is history. I did not have a mortgage. And so it was definitely a blessing and has been ever since.
And are you still do you still actively invest?
I do. Yeah. Well, actively landlord.
Okay.
Yeah. Next year, I'm actually going to probably start looking into more hotels acquisition. Oh. Yeah. This is the good time for that. So, but it has been just residential real estate for 20 years.
I love that. I'm a big, my core business is technology, creative staffing, but I own a couple of commercial properties and residential, and I love it. It's like something about real estate is just very, very much a passion of mine. So I'd love to talk to you a little bit about that, maybe offline. So let's go, because I know that we have a time crunch here. So I want to get to two more questions and then do some rapid fire real quick. So my first question is, what would you have told yourself earlier in your career, like any advice that you would give your younger self?
Go big. You have nothing to lose. And I think that's what I've tried to do. Have confidence in yourself. Make the mistakes. Do all of that before you get married. You have children and people are relying on you. No one is relying on you right now. Go big. Failure is okay. Keep trying and eventually find what you're naturally passionate about.
And how do you define success?
Loving what I do, reaping the rewards, motivating and inspiring others, and ultimately just being happy, being in a happy space, being thankful, being grateful. Watching a dream manifest into reality.
And how, I said I had two, I have one more I want to sneak in. What advice or perspective do you have? Like when you were going through that computer science and the person pulled you out and said, no, this isn't for you, you should drop out. When people come across their own version of that, whatever their version of that is, what advice do you have for them?
Push through it.
push through it. We all have those passing. There's a really good book that I highly recommend, The Power of Your Subconscious Mind. And that is one that 20 years ago I started reading, and I just picked it up because this COVID time is a very interesting time. And I thought it's a good time to dust it off. But I would say push through it. You know, we're all here for a reason. We all have purpose. The faster you're able to tap into that, the better off you are. We all have natural abilities and natural gifts. That's just the way that we were created. And so it's in all of our best interest to tap into that very early. And I've been very blessed to be able to do that in my own life.
Love that. I love that. I'm going to go rapid fire. This will take maybe 15 seconds and then we'll sign off because I know you got to bounce to another meeting. Netflix or cable?
Netflix.
East Coast or West Coast?
East Coast, baby.
Carpet or hardwood?
Hardwood, but don't tell my husband.
Stone or brick?
Oh, I like that. You know what? That's a hard one. You know, I'll let the Philly come out of me and just say brick, you know, or everything was done in brick.
Coffee or tea?
Oh, tea. You may find this shocking. I don't do any caffeine and especially no coffee. I've never even had it really.
How long have you not done any caffeine? I did that for like 21 days and then I stopped.
I can't remember a time where I did really have caffeine.
Really?
When I was younger, I did, you know, soda. Soda was really big in Philly. You know, Pepsi was big.
Yeah.
I used to like an orange, some kind of orange Sunkist.
But you never just started drinking coffee or you just never needed to. And
you know what? Sleep. And so I don't know if you know, we didn't get to this, but sleep is one of my serious things that I recommend for people. You have to get rest. And if you're tired, that means you're not rested. And so you need to go back and you need to create a lifestyle so that you're able to get the proper rest that you need. You cannot be effective without the rest. And so when I feel sleepy, then I've set my life up that way. So if I'm feeling exhausted, you know, let's take some time off. But you definitely got to get a rest. So I do 8 to 9 hours every night to make sure that you don't need caffeine. I'm bouncing off the wall, but come at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock,
you're done.
Tell you, I tell him I'm not going to make it through the last part of this show, that Netflix show.
All right. Let me ask this last one. Then we'll sign off. Astronaut or deep sea diver?
Another one. My husband is a deep sea diver, a real deep sea diver, certified. And so I would have to go with astronaut because my swimming skills have never been up to par. Although they have these big helmet things that you can put on. And I sent that to him. I said, maybe this is my chance to join you. I can put the helmet thing on, go underwater.
Was he like, no, babe, it's okay.
he was open to it. He said, well, as long as you don't get scared.
Yeah, there you go. I like it. Finding a solution. Well, Angel, I'm gonna let you go because I know, I don't want to keep you from your meeting, but thank you so much. It was wonderful talking with you, and I really appreciate you taking the time to do this.
Definitely. Let's do it again. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks.
This is the Lauren Asghari podcast, How'd Her Career Get There? And again, my guest today was Angel Johnson. See you, Angel. Take care.
Thank you. You too.
Let's talk a bunch of different topics.
How'd her career get there?
This is a podcast with Lauren Asghari.